Greetings, dear child of God, in the name of the one who is most precious to you, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, greetings, dear friend, those of you listening today who are uncertain about your eternal destiny. For you, we have good news. God loves you. Christ died for you. And today, the Word of God offers you God's gift, God's free gift of eternal love, completely paid for through the atoning blood of the Lamb of Calvary's cross, even the one who was resurrected after 3 days in a tomb of death. To you listening, friend, out of Christ, He offers you His gift of eternal love. Will you today, even right now as we pray, receive Him and His everlasting gift of eternal life? Join me in prayer. Blessed Master, for every listener to this broadcast, we give you our thanks. For those of your children who are listening today, Father, minister to them by the Spirit of God and through this your word, even as we consider it today. But Father, we pray especially because listening today are some friends, strangers to the Lord Jesus, some friends who know not the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of salvation. Bless them, we pray, Father. And may some of them today receive your Son, our Savior, as the gift of eternal life paid for in His precious blood. We give you thanks now in that worthy name alone. Amen. Today we want to continue the study that we have been having with you. We have been trying to tell you ways that Christians can grow in the Lord. We talked first about some of the results of being born again, and then we spoke for several broadcasts on how you can be sure that you do have God's gift of eternal salvation. And today we would like to speak on the subject of a permanent preservation. Or can a saved person ever perish? Is it possible not only to be saved and to know it, but is it possible to know that God is going to take you to heaven? Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? Now, there is much controversy on this subject, and I'm not speaking upon this subject just to create controversy or to cause someone to want to argue, but I'm going to be speaking upon these verses of Scripture that relate to this because, to me, it is a very vital and precious truth that God gives us in the Word of God. And before we look at any Scriptures, I want to preface my remarks by saying that I believe that any type of a salvation that is not eternal and is not sure is a slap in the face to our Lord Jesus Christ. For when we say that a person can be saved by the grace of God, but he has to do something to keep his salvation, then we are impugning the work of Christ. We are saying the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is insufficient to keep a person saved. Yes, his blood was shed, and his blood does atone, but it's not sufficient to keep someone saved. That's what a person is saying if they say that one can be saved and then lost. And in case you just tuned in, that's not what I believe. I believe that when a person is saved, when he is born of the Holy Spirit, God gives him eternal life. And I believe it because I find it in the Scriptures. And we're going to share some of those Scriptures. If you'd like to get your Bible and turn to John chapter 10, we're going to start there. But I want to repeat now, if a person has been truly born again, he can never, she can never perish. They can never be cast into the pit of hell, the lake of fire. If they have been truly saved, the believer is safe and secure forever because he is in Christ. We're going to look at 7 passages of Scripture which relate to this truth. Now, there are many, many others, but of course time won't permit to look at all of them. But from John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, and 29, we find some very strong evidence that what we have shared with you already is gospel truth. For example, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Notice the words spoken by Christ Himself. He said, I give. You don't earn it. You'll never merit it. You don't deserve it. Nothing you can do to buy it. He says, but I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, no, never perish. How much stronger could the Lord Jesus have made it? Christian friend, plant your feet on that. Because this is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ without any conditions attached. No sheep of His will ever perish. Notice, too, that both Christ and God the Father hold you securely. But I've had some people say, and it sounds so glib, so simple, really, so foolish, well, you can jump out of His hand. You can get yourself out. You can take yourself out. Well, don't you think the Lord Jesus had that in mind as well when He said, no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand? No man, not even yourself. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. Praise God, they shall never perish. Now, you can come up with all kind of arguments you want. You can give all kinds of examples of people that you knew who did this, that, and the other. They lived for Christ, they taught Sunday school, they preached the gospel, perhaps, and then thus and so happened. Well, there are a lot of good classic examples that might try to point to the other side of the fence. But I'm not going to base my conclusions on examples or the failings and falterings of Christians. I am going to accept the Word of the living God, the Lord Jesus, who knew of which He spoke. From John 5 and 24 we read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Once again, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, the man of absolute supreme authority. He promises that the person who hears His word and believes on the One who sent Him has everlasting life. He didn't say life on trial, a life on probation, conditional life, life if He continues and perpetuates Himself. He says, I'll give Him everlasting life. And He says He will not come into condemnation. He will not come into judgment. He will not be condemned and damned with the lost of this world. He will not go to hell. And if one believer were ever lost, then God the Son would have failed to keep His promise. Paul speaks of our God who cannot lie. Yes, praise God, He promises us everlasting life. And He says we will not be condemned. Let's turn to another verse in John's Gospel. John was strong on this truth, but he wasn't the only one. We'll look at Paul's teachings along the same line in just a moment. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice the force of this verse. He that believeth on the Son. Are you a believer, or are you just a make-believer? Are you an impostor, or are you a true believer? You know, that's where the trouble comes. There are so many counterfeit Christians. There are so many phonies among us today. There are so many who are religious, but have no reality. They are churchified, but they don't have Christ. And I speak from experience. I, too, was a church member for 10 long years. A church member traveling the broad road to the pit of hell until, as a guilty sinner, I experienced salvation by the new birth. And this verse says those who have believed upon, trusted, received Christ, they have everlasting life. It does not say He will have. He has it today. He presently possesses it. And what does He have? Everlasting. Oh, friend of mine, why don't you just believe God? Why don't you just accept what He says? You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, there are a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand electricity. I don't understand this broadcasting mechanism that can take a voice and send it out into hundreds and thousands of homes. I don't understand television that can take a picture and project it into my living room from some remote place. There are a lot of things I don't understand. But God tells us that His thoughts and His ways are above our thoughts and ways, as the heavens are above the earth. And He says, because I love you, guilty and rebellious though you were, when you come and believe My word, when you accept what I have to say about you and about My Son, and when you trust Him as Savior, I'll give you eternal life, everlasting life. This is My promise, and it's all based upon what My Son did when He died at Calvary's cross. Friend of mine, let me ask you again, are you a believer or a make-believer. In 1 John chapter 5, we read these words, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Listen to this last portion. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Now, either listening friend, you are a believer. And as we opened by referring to Peter's expression, "Unto you who believe, he is precious." And if you're a true believer today, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to you. And if he's precious to you, don't call him a liar. "Lord, you said I have eternal life. You said he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Lord, I know that I have taken Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to accept the promise of the God who cannot fail and the God who cannot lie, that he that has the Son has life." But listening friend, if you're among those who do not believe what God has to say concerning his Son, then you're calling God a liar. I want to ask you, do you believe God when he says, "He that has the Son has life? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life"? Now let's look at something Paul has to say. See if he and John are in accord. See if the whole same Holy Spirit was leading the two of them. There's much that is said in the 8th chapter of Romans. It starts off by saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. For every child of God, for all of us in Christ, no judgment, no hell, no wrath, no impending doom and judgment." It starts off in this 8th chapter with no condemnation. And it ends, praise God, with no separation. But look at verses 38 and 39. You might be interested in reading that whole chapter, especially from verse 31 on. But in verse 38 we read, "For I am persuaded, I am convinced, I believe God," Paul said on another occasion, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, including yourself, friend, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Apostle Paul announces that none of these things can separate us from the love of God. Unless any child of God might worry that he might separate himself from the love of God, Paul said, not even any other creature. Friend of mine, if you're in Christ, you're as safe as God can make you. And if you're out of Christ, you're condemned already, and you're calling God a liar. More, Lord willing, in our next broadcast. But right now, why don't you turn your life totally and completely over to him? Believe God. My, how he'll bless you today. Amen.